suppose I should start. Welcome, it's good to see you all here, and welcome if you're joining us online. A note for the church family, we've got two prayer meetings this week. The first is a special one for camp. It's at 8 o'clock, it's at Martin and James' house, and it's been really good to see how God has answered prayer over the years as we've got together for these special prayer meetings. So if you can, be there. And the second time of prayer is on Thursday evening, where in addition to praying for camp and the other things to do with our church, James Swanson is joining us by video link. So we're looking forward to that. As we come to worship God, let's start by singing. And we're singing probably one of the most challenging Christian songs that you could ever sing. This comes from the Bible, and the man who wrote it backed it with his life. He lived like this. This was the Apostle Paul. And it would be so different, so amazing, if we just got a little bit more of a grip of the glory of living for Jesus and the extent to which everything else is just rubbish compared with it. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. Lord our God, you promise that where two or three people are gathered in your name, that you're here in the middle of us. And we realise that we come to the God who made everything. And we know that people who were much closer to you than we feel we are, when they met with you in your glory, fell down at your feet as though they were dead, because you are so awesome, so pure, so powerful, so different from what we are. And so you are worthy of every bit of praise that we can give. And we are so glad that we can come to you. Not because of what we've done, not because of what we promised to do, but because you came. Because you sent your Son, who you loved, to pay the price for sin, to break down the barrier between sinful people and a holy God. Oh Lord, we're so glad about that. And we pray that if we're yours, that you will help us to really be glad at the fact that we're welcomed into your family, that we're accepted and loved by the perfect God, that you work out everything for the very best, and that you promise that we will be with you forever. Oh Lord, those are great things. And we ask for those folk who don't know you, who don't understand, who don't know the joy of being in your family, that today might be a day where you show them the beauty of yourself. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll help us as we come to you now. Amen. So today we've got two Bible readings. The first is in Matthew, and Tom's going to read that to us now.
So our first reading this morning is Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 20 on page 812 of Church Bibles. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter it, who enter by it, are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard, that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thorn bushes? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits.
Thank you, Tom. Well, John's going to be explaining that to us later, but we're going to sing again. And can we have the words up? So what we're going to do for singing this song is a little bit different to the way we do other songs. If you're on this side of me, just sing the first verse straight through and go into the second verse. If you're on this side of me, there's a chorus where the alleluias are repeated. I expect a lot of you know it, but if you don't, just follow along. Then you go on to the second verse, and then once people are on to the second verse, it's second verse, chorus, third verse, chorus. Hopefully it will work really well, but let's give it a go.
Thank you.
pray again. Father, we thank you that we've been singing great words, and they're not just a song, they're words from your word. They're words that Jesus said, that if we ask, you hear us and you give. And we pray that you will help us all to pray now. Whether it's my words or the thoughts in people's hearts, we ask that we will be making a connection with you. Oh Lord, you know how hard it is for us to pray. And part of that is the barrier that we have with you because we haven't done what we should have done. Oh Lord, this week our lives have been directed in our own ways. We've thought things that we shouldn't have thought. We've said things that we shouldn't have said. We've done things that we shouldn't have done. And we often try and pretend to ourselves and we try and pretend to others, but we cannot pretend to you. You know, you see. And you see how far away from where we should be, what you want us to be, we are. And, oh Lord, we thank you that you gave Jesus so that we can be forgiven, that you give your spirit so that we can change. And we do pray that that will be something that we all know. We know the joy of being forgiven and accepted by you. And we come sad because of our country. Oh Lord, there's many good things and many things that you've given us. Oh Lord, we are so glad for the beautiful weather, the safety that we live in. But Lord, we see violence. We see hatred. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll have mercy. We pray that you'll give us good leaders. We pray that you'll help our leaders. And we pray that more and more they'll be turning to your good and perfect way to live rather than following other ideas which end up in failure. And Lord, we pray for peace. We pray that you will calm the anger, that you will bring people back to their senses. And we ask that you will help your church. Lord, we, as a church in this country, we are sad. We are sad that we've kept our good news too secret. We've been reluctant to share it with people who need it so that lives can be changed and people know joy and peace in you. Oh Lord, I pray that you'll wake us up. I pray that you will give your church a hunger for you. And that hunger for you will change our lives more and more. And that we will be more and more wanting to tell people about you. Oh Lord, we thank you for the opportunities you give. And as in a few days' time there's the lighthouse work, we pray that people will come along to that. And that the people talking about you will be given your strength, your power and your ability to communicate in a way that people understand. And we thank you for camp. We thank you for everyone here. We thank you for the great weather. We thank you for the joy of being outdoors, the fun that's planned. Oh Lord, we pray that you will bring safety. We pray that people will have a really good time. We pray that it will be great friendships. We pray that you'll help the leaders to lead and that you'll help the campus make it easy for the leaders to lead. But most of all, we ask that as your word's opened, as there are morning readings, as there are talks, Lord, that there will be a sense that you're speaking. And Lord, I pray that everyone will listen and hear your voice and not forget what you're saying. Oh Lord, our God, we thank you that you're not just the God of the past, but you're a God of the here and now. And as we meet now, we come with many different attitudes to next week. But we thank you that you know already. So we pray that you will be with those who are uncertain about next week, how exam results are coming, and that will make a difference to the future. Oh Lord, we pray that those who are your children will have that confidence that you are in control, that you are working out everything for the very best, whether it's what they had planned or not. Oh, Father, we're glad that you know best. And we pray that you will help us to grasp hold of that in every stage of our lives. Oh, Lord, you know that some of us are worried about work and about money. Help us to cast our cares on you. Oh Lord, you know the things that we know that we haven't told anyone else about. Give us confidence in you that you love us and that you're in control. Pray especially for those with real health worries. Do give them that peace in you, I pray. And Lord, do calm their minds. Oh, we do thank you that you are with us in the storms. And we thank you that we don't have to just guess at what our God wants. We thank you you've given us your word written down. We thank you that we hear the words of Jesus, and we pray that you'll help John as he explains that to us later. We pray that it will land in our hearts and in our lives so that we know more of our great God. Amen. So we're going to sing again? No, we're not. We've got a reading first. Luke's going to read to us. Not Luke. Noah's going to read to us from Luke. Can only get better, can't it? So thank you, Noah.
So that's Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 23. Or page 873 in church Bibles. And someone said to him, Lord, those who are saved be few. And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock on the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are the last who will be first, and some of the first who will be last.
Thank you. And in a bit, John's going to come and preach to us from the passage of Matthew, but before that we have one more song. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Thank you. Now, I wonder if you ever think about the route that you are going through in life. The way that you are taking through life. Where it's going and where it's going to end up. I'm amazed at how many people seem to have no real thought to where life's going and where it's going to end up. And maybe that's you, maybe that's one of us this morning. We don't really think about life, where it's going and where it's going to end up. Well, this morning's message from Jesus will really force us to think about that, to confront it, to think it through for ourselves. It was probably the most famous talk ever given. And Jesus is coming to the end of it. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew chapters 5 and 6 and 7. And as he comes to the end, he says things which will make people think very seriously about how they are responding to the things that he has said. And he gives some dramatic pictures which act as a warning and a push to think through such things. And this morning we're going to look at two ways. And this evening we're going to be a little bit later in the chapter and we're going to look at two builders. Two ways and two builders. And the message this morning, the picture, the verses this morning are very simple. Let me read them. They're 13 and 14 in Matthew 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. We have two gates. We have two gates. We have the start of two routes, really, in front of you. It's decision time. It's time to think which way to go. This week, for those on camp, two routes will be presented in front of you through life, and you'll need to be thinking through those routes and the things that are in front of you, the options. Others of us have heard many times perhaps this through the years, but this morning it's brought in front of us again. These two options, these two routes through life are facing us to think about this morning, and they are presented as two gates by Jesus. And what are they like? And what's the difference between them? Well, Jesus talks about the wide gate in verse 13. For the gate is wide. Perhaps you think of a main school gate with lots of the students and young people flooding through. You think of a big farm gate, which is very wide so that the farm machinery can go through it and do what they need to do. And he also says there is a narrow gate. Verse 14. For the gate is narrow. Almost next to the farm gate, there's a walker's gate, and it's a much smaller gate to go through. Sometimes they're particularly confined, aren't they, these gateways that you get on walks. Maybe it's one of those that doesn't open fully. It sort of goes into a V and it's quite narrow both ways, and maybe you have to sort of hold your breath a bit to get round it. It's a narrow gate. It's more difficult to get through, and you can't always take things that you want to. If you were going cycling, for instance, and you've got one of these narrow gates, you can't take your bike through. It just won't fit through the gate. So maybe you'd have to sort of lock it up by the fence and you'd have to go for the next part of the walk without it. You'd have to leave it behind. It's too tight. It's too confined for you to take some of the baggage and some of the things you'd like to through the gates. So the wide gate is easy. You barely notice you're going through it. You can just keep going along your way. Like on the main A road if you're driving. It's just very easy. All the traffic's going that way. It's a big wide carriageway. But sometimes you want one of these country lanes on the left-hand side, and you're looking for where it is. You're trying to see the gap, and it's going to be quite tight to turn round and get in. And Jesus makes his distinction between a wide opening and a narrow opening. And Jesus says, I'm putting two gates before you in life. It's a big and easy way. It's no trouble to go through. And there's a smaller gate. And it's harder to get into. And it's more of an effort. And there are things that you can't take with you. Let me tell of two of the things you can't take with you. So imagine you can't take your bike through this very, very narrow, twisted gate. You have to put it to the side. And I want to put, if you like, on the bike, on one wheel, I want to put a big label, a thing that has to be left behind. And on this wheel, we've got trusting in myself. Trusting in myself. So that is thinking I'm good enough for God. Thinking I don't need forgiving. Jesus started his message with those who are poor in spirit and mournful. Well, this person isn't and is not bothered. And he trusts in himself or she trusts in herself. And they think they're good enough. And they think that God will automatically forgive them because they're such good people. But Jesus is saying if you start on this, through this narrow gate, you have to leave that sort of self-trust, trusting in yourself, behind. It just doesn't go through the gate. You have to ask forgiveness. You have to trust in Jesus. Realize that you need to depend on his death, as we sung in that last song, Man of Sorrows. But there's another thing that you have to leave behind. Let's go on to the other wheel, and let's sort of paste a poster, if you like, on the other wheel. And that is this. We have to leave behind living for myself. If we're thinking, well, I do just what I want to in life. If I enjoy it, I'll do it. If it's going to make me happy, then that's what I'll pursue. And I'm not too bothered about what pleases God. And I'm not too bothered about what pleases other people. Jesus says you can't go through the route like that. You can't go through living for yourself. He said before that God must be our master above everything in this message. He says that we must seek first the kingdom of God. So there's two gates. The wide gate, very easy. The narrow gate, which you have to leave things behind. You have to believe and repent. And you have to leave behind trusting in yourself, living for yourself. Have you gone through the narrow gate? Or are you just choosing to carry on the very easy way through the wide gate? Jesus talks about two ways. He talks about two ways. But what are we told about the ways in these verses? Well, in verse 13, there's an easy way, for the gate is wide and the way is easy, Jesus says. And in verse 14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard. So there's an easy route, an easy pathway, and a hard pathway. Perhaps you've been to Ashdown Forest, maybe you went last night, and in Ashdown Forest you have some of the walkways, which are just really wide, aren't they? They're about, 5-6 metres wide. It's just very comfortable to walk along them. Plenty of space, lots of different lanes or routes or pathways you can choose on this big, wide way. And then sometimes you come to little offshoots and, well, it's narrower and maybe there's some brambles and there's some roots and you have to duck under low-hanging branches and it's more difficult to go along those and to just walk along the big wide ways over the forest. And Jesus says, well, there's an easy way, if you like, through life. There's lots of different routes through life on this big wide way and you can just do what you want, and if temptation comes, well, you can just give in to it and follow what seems to please you. And on this easy way, you don't have any opposition or people against you because you're following God. And you could just believe in whatever you want that fits in with everyone else, and it's very easy along this way. And Jesus says there's a hard way through life. And that harder way is thinking about what God wants, what's good, what's right, what pleases Him, what's helpful to others. And doing that way, there are things that you choose not to do because you know they aren't good and they aren't pleasing to God and they aren't helpful to others. And on that way, sometimes you'll stick up for what you believe in God, and it won't always be easy. So there is an easy way through life and a hard way through life. Now don't misunderstand me. There are other passages in the Bible which make clear that it is a wonderful and a great thing to be following the Lord, to be doing what Jesus says. There is great relief, and there is great joy, and there is great peace, and there is great hope. I was thinking about this, and it reminded me of somebody who became a Christian here in their 70s. And one of the days, it may have been the day when he gave his story to the church of how he's been converted, I think it was, but he went down the car park and he went skipping down the car park because he was just so thrilled and happy at what Jesus had done for him. So there's great joy and great peace and great hope in being a Christian. There's no way that I would want to swap being a Christian for the days when I was not a Christian. I'm glad that God has pulled me away from that life. It's just so much better to live the way of life I do. But there are also great difficulties in following Jesus. And some of you on camp, I think as the week goes on, you'll hear about this in one of the talks. So we have these two ways. The easy way. Just do what you want. Please yourself. And there is God's way, the way following Jesus, which has its difficulties, the things in the way, things which are more of an effort, more hard. Which way are you walking on? Which way do you intend to walk on? Well, then we also have two groups. How many on the different ways? How many on the different ways? Well, on verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy, that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. Wide gate, easy way, many. Verse 14, the gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Few. So you look around and think who's on the route that you're going or you want to go. And one of the routes is like the main school gates with all the, you know, it's 3:40 or whatever, the bell's gone and just teams of people pouring through the gates. You think of a busy shopping centre. You think of outside a football stadium or a concert hall, and there's lots of people teeming down the streets. And there are loads on that way. And the other, well, you think of rather than the main school gate, you think of perhaps one of those times when you've had an after school club and there's not many of you heading home, and maybe you take one of the sort of windy routes home and you see somebody a little bit further down and somebody sort of, you know, 50 metres behind you, but there's not many taking that route. Sparse. Now we know that there are millions of Christians. There will be millions of Christians, a number beyond number, but often in the place where we are, it feels few. It feels few. I remember at school, I think I might be just in the sixth form perhaps, not quite sure, and the teacher asked from the front, he said, now who here believes in God? Who here believes in God? And I was the only one who put my hand up. And wrongly, I felt quite ashamed and embarrassed. Nobody else has got their hand up, it's just me. Perhaps some others did believe in God. I suspect they did, but they didn't put their hand up. But there I was, just one hand, and everyone looking at me as I was weird. Maybe it's the same for you. It's similar for you. Or maybe you think it will be if you follow Jesus. You feel as though you're few rather than many. Of course, not such a problem this morning. So many in this room would be believers wanting to follow Jesus. It's great encouragement. It might not be so bad this week if you're on camp and you've got everybody around you and you're hearing teachings about Jesus and singing songs and you feel as though you're in the majority. But it'd be very different perhaps when you get back home, especially when you hit September. Jesus' teaching reminds us that it's not good just to copy everyone else. That the popular place isn't necessarily the right place or the safe place. Sometimes you know an area well and you know the shortcuts, and sometimes everyone else is queuing up or they're in the traffic queue and you know the back way, so you can go off and you feel quite sort of pleased about it because you found a different way. Not many of you, everyone else is queuing up. I came across this illustration from somebody who was a speaker a few years ago, and they'd been to a concert. It was in Bristol, and they were in a multi-storey car park afterwards. Lots had gone to the concert, lots had gone to other things in Bristol, theatres, cinemas, etc. So the cars were bumper to bumper going down out of the multi-storey car park. He had somebody in the car who knew the area well, and he said, "Go up, go up." So go up, go up. And they went up, and everyone's coming down, but they went up, the multi-story, got to floor 8, and on floor 8 there was an exit because the multi-story was built against a hill and there was a way out on level 8. And he'd gone the way up, and it was right. And it's like that as a Christian sometimes, you're not doing what everyone else is doing, and you feel odd and it feels different, but Jesus says that's the way. That's the way. You sometimes have to be on your own. You have to be on a lonely route. So here we have the two gates, the two ways, the two groups. And maybe you say, well, you've not really sold it to me yet. If I was to choose after these three, you've not really made it very attractive to go the narrow way through the narrow gate with so few on it. Or maybe you are a follower of Jesus and you're finding it quite hard at the minute. You are on a narrow path and your friends aren't on it with you and you don't find it very easy. So we've got another aspect to think about, and it's as if Jesus puts us in a helicopter and takes us up and gives us the bigger view of where these different paths are going. And he talks about two destinations. Two destinations. These two routes end up in very different places. I've come across some strange place names, quite frightening place names really. Maybe you know some strange destinations or place names. Death Valley in the US. That's a strange name. There's a Scream Point in Lancashire. There's a Dead Man's Hill in Yorkshire. A strange place to be heading to, isn't it? And in this picture, Jesus uses a name which gives something a very sad and quite alarming name for the destination that people are heading to. Verse 13, "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." The wide way wide gate, the wide way with so many on it, leads to a place of God's judgment, the Bible says. It's described in other ways, just in this book of Matthew, as hell. It's been called hell twice already by Jesus in this sermon. In the next chapter, it will be described as outer darkness and a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Later in the book of Matthew, it will be described as a place of eternal fire and eternal punishment. Destruction is what it's called here. It's a place which lacks all of God's wonderful gifts of light and comfort and satisfaction and joy. It's a place which, if we ignore God and we kick aside his rules and we ignore the way of salvation that he's provided, it's the place we're heading to, the Bible says. It's the place we all deserve to go to, the Bible says. One of the destinations here called destruction. There are also some nice place names. Perhaps you've come across some. When we were in America, we went through a town called Paradise. A village in South Africa called Happiness. Not so far from us, there's a place called Peace Haven, which you may or may not like it as a place, but just the name is a beautiful name. It's a peace haven. And here Jesus says the other destination is life. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Paradise, where Christ is. A place of joy, a place of rest, a place of comfort. Spoken of elsewhere in this book of Matthew as a place of great reward, a place where we will see God, a place where we will be comforted, a place where we will be shining like the sun in the kingdom of our Father, a place which is called a place where you experience the joy of your Master. It is described as a place of eternal life in Matthew 25. So there are these two ways through life. Not lots of different ways, but two, principally, basically, two different ways through life that Jesus says. And one ends up at destruction, and one ends up at life. And of course, it has to make us think this morning, which way am I on? Or at this moment of decision, which gate am I going to go through? Now I've seen the bigger picture. Where am I going to end up? Which route am I taking through life? So following all these twos, we're going to end up with this. One thing to do. One thing to do. And that's the way Jesus starts these two verses. When he puts it like this, enter by the narrow gate. He solves the problem for you. He tells you what the right course of action is. The one thing to do, enter by the narrow gate. It's as if we come down from our helicopter ride now and we're let out of the helicopter. We're in front of the two gates. And what is the sensible thing for us to do? Enter the narrow gate. Find the narrow gate. Strive to enter the narrow gate. Make it your great sense of purpose and mission that this is where you're going to go. Be prepared to leave your self-trust, thinking that you're good enough, your self-righteousness. Be prepared to leave living for yourself and to start living for God and for others. Leave that behind and enter into the narrow gate that leads to life. the narrow gate won't always be open. One day, Jesus said in the other passage, which we had read for us in Luke 13, that it will be shut. There it was put like this, Luke 13, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able when once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us. And he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. So while God has given you life and breath, while you're in the land of the living, before it is too late and the gate is shut, the one thing to do, enter through the narrow gate. Well, I hope this morning it helps you to think about where you are in life, where it's going and where it's leading to. And that God might put in your heart, if you haven't done already, to enter through the narrow gate. We're going to carry on thinking about what we've been looking at as we have our last song, which is a song, maybe you know of it, maybe you don't, most of you will know the tune. It gets us to think about where things are going in our life. Where do you travel on your life's journey? Where do you travel day after day? Is it to heaven? Is it to glory? Look unto Jesus. He is the way. For the plainness and the simplicity of the teaching of Jesus. We pray that as we thought about it this morning and thought about our lives, that you would encourage and help us to enter into the narrow gate, if we haven't already, to go the way of Jesus, to enjoy the forgiveness that he brings, and to find ourselves in that place of eternal life. Do make this morning's message useful to our hearts, we pray. Amen.